always frightens me when I have to be recorded. Will you turn with me in your Bibles? Do you have the Bibles handy? They're at the end of the row if you need one. And we're turning to Exodus chapter 2. And give you a little background before we have our message today of where we are in history. Abraham, chapter 12 in Genesis, came on the scene. God gave him a great promise. He promised that he would bless him and multiply him to the ends of the earth. He was our spiritual father. And he was also the father of what is known as the Jewish people. That he's a spiritual father for us. He lived 175 years of age. He had only one son. Actually, he had two that came about as a result of his wife not being able to have children. And she was so compassionate that she wanted him to have a son. Ishmael was born of an Egyptian handmaid. That's a little bit of the history of Abraham. But Isaac came, and Isaac became the son of Abraham, and then a multiplication began to take place. Jacob came along, and Jacob became the father of 12 sons, and they became the leaders of the nation of Israel. A famine came, a horrible famine. Joseph, one of the youngest sons of Jacob, was sold into slavery into Egypt. And God brought him up out of the jail. And he became so blessed by God that the children of Israel not only multiplied, but they became, through Joseph, the salvation of the Middle East. He ended up being second in command to the president, the Pharaoh of Egypt. He did a marvelous job of saving not only the Jewish people, 75 in number, came down into Egypt because of the famine. That's the beginning of the story. But later on, some 400 years later, the children of Israel found themselves still in Egypt, in bondage, in slavery. They had multiplied to a population greater than the Egyptians. And a new Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph. And he saw that the Jewish people had multiplied so rapidly until they were in larger numbers than the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh ordered that every male child of the Israelites be thrown into the Nile River. He ordered the the ones who were helping to give birth to the babies, that every one of them would be extinguished, put to death, aborted after birth. And God came to the rescue. I want us to look first of all to Exodus chapter 2. All of what I've been talking about up till this point has been in the book of Genesis. But if you'll turn in Exodus to chapter 2, I want to give just a little bit of background. And I'm reading from verse 1. Now, man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. Now, Levi was one of the sons of Jacob. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket made of bulrushes for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. And her attendants were walking along the riverbank. Let's stop there. I want to make an apology. Last time I was with you folks, I preached overtime, and I apologize. This time I brought my clock. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. Her attendants were walking along the river bank, and she saw a basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. I think God pinched him so he would cry. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she said. And so the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'll pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh's daughter, who never married and could have no children. And he became her son. She named him Moses. And Moses became my favorite biblical character, except for Jesus. Well, she adopted him when he was probably 3 months old. That's usually when a child stops nursing. But possibly she kept him until he was 5 years old. We don't know. Scripture's silent on the matter. But she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." It comes from the Greek, Egyptian word, out from the water. Well, Moses lived in the courts of Pharaoh. In the courts of Pharaoh for 40 years. until he was 40 years of age. Moses eventually lived to be 120 in 40-year intervals. The first 40 years he spent in the courts of Pharaoh, educated in all of the affairs and all of the education of the Egyptians. He probably even served in the military. We don't know. Scripture's silent on the matter. But then at the age of 40, the Bible says that when Pharaoh heard about him going out and killing an Egyptian, Moses was afraid, and as a result, he fled from Pharaoh. And he went all the way over to the land of the Midianites. It's called Midian. And that's an interesting thing, because Midianites came from Abraham. After Abraham's wife Sarah died, and he buried her in Israel, he then ended up taking on another wife, Keturah. She had 6 sons. One of them was named Midian. And after Abraham gave everything that he had to his children, which was only one, he then sent all Keturah and all of her children all the way over to what is now Saudi Arabia, just on the other side of the Sea of Aqaba, in where Saudi Arabia starts. I had the privilege of working in all of Asia, but I started in Pakistan, and then when my wife had a problem with her heart, then the mission brought us home, and then John Mariner arranged for me to go to work with Evangelism Explosion, because he knew that I was passionate for leading people to Christ. And I became eventually the director of all of West Asia, which included all the Middle East and all the way over to Pakistan. And then, after I had reached all of those nations, so planting somebody and training and leading people to Christ, then I was given all of Asia, and went all the way from Japan to Turkey. And I had the privilege of going one time with my Middle East director, because I couldn't handle all that territory, so I divided Asia up into 4 territories. And so I took Milad Dos, who is an ARP minister, an Egyptian, and trained him in evangelism, and he then helped me, and we went together all over the Middle East. And we drove one time all the way from the northern part of Jordan, and we went down to Aqaba. It's a city there, and it's the headquarters are the division of 4 countries: Israel on the west, northwest; on the north, Jordan; and then on the southwest was Egypt, and on the east, southeast, was Saudi Arabia. And they all go together to one little town called Aqaba. And while we were there, we led an Israeli to Christ. Well, anyway, that's where Moses went. He fled from Israel, from Egypt, Cairo, Egypt, all the way over to Aqaba. And then all along the Sea of Aqaba is where the Midianites went and set up their headquarters. Now that's a little bit of history, but it gives you a little bit of a concept of the vastness of the scripture that only is in one chapter. And I hope that helps you to understand. When Pharaoh heard about that Moses had killed an Egyptian, he started after Moses. And Moses fled. Now, Moses came, we find in the 15th verse, Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, the priest of Midian, who was a descendant of Abraham, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the trough to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. They wanted to put their sheep first. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. And when the girls returned to rule their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" And they answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "Well, where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." And Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses for marriage. And Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." But during that long period, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out to God. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God, and God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And so God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Next chapter. And that's our chapter for today. All the rest of it has been introduction. Now the message is in the next 10 minutes. Because that's all the time I've got. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Did you realize that the mountain of God is in Saudi Arabia? That's where Moses was. Moses saw that, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire in a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Now, folks, remember, Moses has been there for 40 years. He spent 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh, and then he spent 40 years in the backside of the wilderness. And that's where we find him after 40 years. He's 80 years of age. Folks, I'm 89. He was only 80. Moses thought, "I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn." And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And God said to him, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." You know, when I got to Pakistan, I found out that nobody in Pakistan, whether they're Muslim or Christian, wear shoes in church. It's holy ground. I preached all over Pakistan barefooted. Holy ground. Next Sunday, leave your shoes on the porch. Take off your sandals. A place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. 80 years of old age and never had any encounter with God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. God's going to tell Moses 5 things about himself. 5 things. Number 1, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've seen. God sees everything. Secondly, I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. Number 3, I'm concerned about their suffering. Number 4, I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And number 5, to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Egyptians has reached me. And I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? I'm a nobody. God says, I'm glad you realize you're a nobody, but I want to make a somebody out of you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship on this mountain. The mountain of God in Saudi Arabia. Moses said to God, was at least beginning to make excuses now. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father sent me to you. And they ask, what's his name? If the Israelites ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? I don't know what to say. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Did you know that that's God's name? I am. I'm everywhere present. I'm all powerful. There's nothing too hard for me. And you tell the Israelites, I am, has sent you to me. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is his name forever. The name that you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I've watched over you. I've seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, into the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite. A land flowing with milk and honey. A spacious land. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I'll stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians and all the wonders that I will perform among them. And after that, he'll let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Now we have to go to the next chapter. And Moses answered, "What if they will not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What's that in your hand?" I think it sort of took Moses by surprise. I brought my staff today. This is my staff that I take care of the sheep. And God said, "Throw it on the ground." And it turned into a snake, a serpent. And I can imagine that Moses said, "God, it's a snake." And he said, "Yes. You had a snake in your hand and didn't know it. But you throw it down. Now, Moses, take it by the tail." Now, folks, I was raised on Rattlesnake Hill in North Florida. We kill rattlesnakes 6 feet long with 20 rattlers and a button. Two of them, one day after the other. Our collie, shepherd dog, was killed as a result of killing snakes. That was hard. Now, folks, the tail is not the part of the snake to deal with. But God told him to take the snake by the tail. I found the best way to deal with snakes is, my father said, you cut off the tail right behind the ears. Take it by the tail. What about the other end? You take it by the tail, I'll take care of the other end. And it turned back into a shepherd's staff again. Did you know it was never called in the Bible the rod of Moses? It was called the rod of God. Check it out. God took the snake out of it and it became powerful. And he stood before Pharaoh with the rod of God in his hand, and he threw that rod down in his presence, and the snake came. It turned into a snake. Folks, that's our God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. God took the snake out. And then the next minute, before the 12 o'clock times, I want to tell you a personal example in my life, or application, and you can take it and use application in your life. When I graduated from high school in Tallahassee, Florida, and Leon High School, I was an athlete. I was a runner, a high jumper. I ran the high hurdles. I ran the quarter mile. In fact, I was a state champion in the state of Florida in 1952 in the quarter mile. And the coach at Florida State University came to me and he said, "Gary, I'm offering you a scholarship to come and run in the track team at Florida State." But a lady in our church came to me and she said, "Gary, you know that if you accept that scholarship, and go to Florida State University, you'll go as a mission field. But if you'll go to Columbia Bible College in Columbia, South Carolina, I'll pay for your first semester, all expenses. God said to me, what have you got in your hand? A scholarship. Throw it down. I threw it down. I went to Columbia Bible College, ended up for 2 years there. Then my mother and father came down in a polio epidemic in Tallahassee, Florida, and both of them had contracted polio. So I left Columbia and went down to take care of my family. Coach Mike Long was a member of my church then that I was raised in, Lafayette Presbyterian Church. And he said, Gary, you're back? I said, yes, sir. He said, your scholarship is still waiting for you. You see, God took the snake out of that scholarship. What have you got in your hand? Throw it down. Give it to God. And then I was able to not only help establish a Christian ministry on that campus, but also able to lead athletes to Jesus Christ. What's in your hand? Throw it down. Let God take the snake out of it. And then He can use you for His glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy, your grace. You're great, O Lord. We deserve nothing but hell and your displeasure. But you have loved us. You provided redemption for us with the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Lord, give us grace to throw it down. All of our future, and give it to you for your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I know I've gone over a little bit, but I think we ought to sing a closing hymn. And so let's turn in our hymn books now to hymn number 734. 734. And we'll stand together as we sing.
It's 170.
170? Okay. Oh, yeah, I see.